Hi, so who are you?
I'm Scott Austin. I'm the business manager for Xbox Live Arcade.
Okay, so what is Xbox Live Arcade? I know everybody probably knows this, but for people that don't.
For the 14 people who don't, it's the coolest download service of games on demand available on the next generation consoles. So Xbox 360 through Xbox Live has connected services. One of the services we have is the ability to download games.
Okay, so, and just so people understand the scale, how many people are downloading games, how many people are playing on Xbox, like, how big is this?
It's huge. So, Xbox Live has over 10 million users.
Okay.
And Xbox Live Arcade, I'm not sure the latest numbers that we give out to, you know, the press to be quoted and all that. We've had hundreds of millions of downloads, millions of purchases, tons of game hours. I did one stat one time, how many man years of gameplay there was, and it was like 26,000 man years of gameplay on arcade games.
Wow, that's
so we could have built pyramids in the amount of gameplay that's happened on arcade.
Well, you probably don't want to say that. All that lost time is probably not necessarily a good thing. So, so some of the interesting areas, you had a talk.
Yes.
And why don't you give kind of an overview of what your talk was?
So now that
what was the topic?
Yeah, we come to these conferences quite often, and what we've been doing in the past is telling people how to get their game onto the service, educating about what Xbox Live Arcade is. But now, 2.5 years after the launch of the Xbox 360, the development community really understands what the service is and the opportunities and the venues for them to get their games in front of us. So we've actually started moving out of that public information and awareness mode into actually sharing best practices and letting people learn from all the experiences we have from all the games we put out. So what we tried to do in this presentation this week here at GDC was two things. Focus on the trial experience, which is one of the innovations we brought to the console, is having a trial for every single game in our arcade service, and letting people know how important that trial is as a marketing tool to upsell their game. And then also talk about the ways that arcade games have innovated. You know, with 360 and Live and Arcade, there's lots of new services that were made available to developers, and we wanted to show the different ways that developers have pushed the boundaries of gaming on arcade.
So let's talk about some of the ways. What do you mean by pushing the boundaries? Are these new games? Are they doing things differently? Let's. What are a couple examples of developer and development publishing companies that are doing interesting things?
Yeah. So you can push the boundaries in a lot of different dimensions. And today we tried to cover a bunch of the different dimensions. Some of the ways that innovation has happened in gaming is just along the gameplay itself. And we talked about one game that's coming out really soon. That was an IGF winner, an Independent Games Festival winner, either last year or 2 years ago, called Braid. And it's got some very innovative game mechanics where time is a very important element in the game. And you can rewind time, you can distort time, you can have parallel times. There's all these ways that you can use time flexibly to solve the puzzles that are part of the Braid game. So you can expand in the game genres or game mechanics. And the nice thing about arcade that makes it great for this kind of innovation is our production time and our production costs are much lower relative to retail titles. So you can take more risk and innovate more and try new concepts out with your audience with arcade games.
And if it's a failure, it's not a $10 million failure, if you will.
$30 million failure.
Yeah, it can be pretty bad. So really you're seeing a lot of people doing interesting things that haven't been done before in games.
Yes, so and gameplay is one of those ways. But there's other innovations that have happened. You know, we have, with 360 and with Live, lots of great services at the disposal of developers that they can use and integrate into their game experience.
Mm-hmm.
So today we actually launched N Plus, a brand new game on our arcade service, an existing PC game.
Mm-hmm.
And it's our first game with a level editor and allowing peer-to-peer sharing of those levels. So you, the average user, can create your own level and share it with your friends.
Yes.
That's an innovation that's happened on arcade.
That's really cool, and it kind of gets back to some of the more general trends that we're seeing in computing, which is user-generated content. So now, me and my friends can share different maps and it's sharing peer-to-peer, and you mentioned some of the issues around client-to-server sharing and some of the things like permissions or content ruling and all that, those issues that people want to avoid by just doing peer-to-peer. So when you mentioned user-generated content, you're actually building a map.
Yes.
Right? So you enable the casual user to actually build the map and then share it with their friends over, and I'm literally sending them the file, and
yes.
Now we can play co-op.
Yes.
Awesome.
Or you can play co-op competitively, whatever you want to, but any user can create a level and share it with their friends And then they have that whole community aspect of it. And a lot of the levels that are in the current version of M Plus that we ship today on arcade were levels that were created by the community on the PC version of the map. Mm-hmm. So, you know, the developers came up with some great levels, and the community also came up with some great levels.
So, a PC map could be shared on Xbox Live?
No, it can't be shared on Xbox Live.
Okay.
They were created on the PC, and then the developer created those maps for the 360 version.
So, what's interesting to me is, you think of arcade games, you don't generally think of user-generated content or modding, which is effectively what this is. Do you see that growing, or, because in general you see modding on probably their first-person shooter games, map level editors, or things like World of Warcraft, where, you know, people are building sort of UI mods. Where do you see that going in live arcades?
So in live arcade, you know, some of the innovations we talked about, just the way I call it social engagement. And M+ was a social feature with the peer-to-peer sharing. And there's other directions that you can go in innovation in social. So, yes, user-generated content is something that is valuable. It helps build and foster community and extend the life and the excitement of the game past what the developers create for the users. The users can keep it running. Mm-hmm. But there's also other innovations along the social realm. I think Poker Smash was another example we showed today, where they have a ticker at the front of the screen that shows you the leaderboards, so that when you walk into the game of Poker Smash, most games that you enter, you know, you're alone. It's just you and the game. You're right. Interacting with the console. In Poker Smash, the first screen you see shows that you're one of many people playing Poker Smash, and here's the best ones in the world.
Right.
And it lets you go a step farther in that you can say, this guy is the best in the world. He's got an 82 combo, which is about the highest number I think it's out there right now. How did he do that? And what we've done is we allowed the game, Poker Smash, to store on the server side the game that got that highest rating on the leaderboard, so the highest ranking on the leaderboard. Uh-huh. All the users can go into the theater, download that, and see how good that person was. What tricks and tips do they have? How did they get, you know, their scores so high? And so others can learn from that.
So it's that replayability, actually seeing game spectator mode, if you will.
Yes, yes.
Awesome. For casual games.
Yes.
Awesome.
Yeah, Poker Smash is a match 3. It's not as casual as some match 3s, but its basic mechanic in the end is a match 3. It's got great polish and great excitement and a lot of flair to it. And users can watch other people doing it and learn from it.
And that stuff that a developer can just take advantage of, it's just live services to be able to do that.
Yes, the leaderboard service that we provide, that a lot of people have leaderboards. That's not a new innovation for the game. But a lot of arcade developers are using leaderboard storage to store that kind of information. This is not the only game that does it. It's just another example of how.
Cool. Awesome. So a couple other examples on ways you're seeing people take arcade and new innovations that you're seeing.
Another one that we talked about today was along the lines of accessories. We have the Xbox Live Vision Camera.
Yeah.
And we showed one game, Pinball FX, where you can use the camera as the input device. The motion of your hands would control the flipper. The camera would detect your hands moving, and the flipper would move along with that.
Sure, sure.
And another thing that we showed was the Spyglass board games. They took the camera, and Spyglass board games is classic garden board games like checkers and chess and Go and Reversi, I think are the four that's in there.
Right.
And those games are really about bringing people together. Those are games that have existed for centuries, and the intention was to bring people together and foster social interaction. And what we've done, unfortunately, digital entertainment is remove that socialization and that personal experience from those things. And with live services and the live vision camera, we start bringing that back in. So the Spyglass board game, you know, it's a simple thing that they did. They made the camera window so you can see, you know, if you and I were playing over live with the vision cameras,
right.
The picture of you takes a really big space on the screen. And my picture on your screen is a really big space. So it's more about you and I interacting as much as it is about the game that we're playing. So it allows that social interaction. Not only can I hear you through the voice chat that we have, but I can also see you, your expressions, your responses, and I can give you crap, and you can rip me back, and all that kind of stuff. And we get a much more personal experience there because of the way that they've used the vision camera.
Yeah, now some of the interesting aspects is the things you can do with overlays for the vision camera. Now, is that extensible? Like, so for if somebody wanted to, say, dynamically draw a mustache or do their own, you know, picture recognition kind of things. Can developers take advantage of that? Like, do they get the video stream to play with, and that way they can sort of do some more interesting ways, put a top hat on somebody playing Monopoly or something like that?
We have some of those features built into the vision, you know, cameras so that anybody can use it. I'm not really sure how developers can customize that and what the API or the GDK allows for. So it's an interesting question we'll have to look into.
Okay, cool. We'll follow up on that. So, other stuff that you're seeing?
I'm actually trying to think. There were so many
presented. Oh, achievements.
How about achievements? That's a great one. Yeah.
Some of the things that you're seeing for different achievements. You are a self-admitted achievement whore.
Gamerscore whore. GSW.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
So.
So achievements have been a really interesting thing that we've brought out with Xbox 360 and Xbox Live. And what achievements are, for the people that don't know, it's basically we've made a meta game about all the games. Every game has the ability to, in arcade, earn 200 gamer score points, mm-hmm. or in a retail game, 1,000 gamer score points. And that the points that you earn add up, and you get basically a rank or a rating on how much gamer score you've got.
Right.
So it makes all of your games part of a bigger meta game. So
right.
If you play through Halo 3 and get all 1,000 gamer score, you know, and if the only game you've ever played is Halo 3, you only have 1,000 gamer score. Well, in the meta game of 360, you haven't really played that much, even though you may be awesome at Halo. It's the person with, you know, 20,000 gamer score that's going to have more street cred in the meta game.
Right, right.
So now that we see that this achievement thing is out there and it's catching, it's sticky, people love it. The developers are starting to take that and use the achievements in very unique ways. One of the best examples was one of our launch titles back in November 2005, the Geometry Wars. And in Geometry Wars, the idea of the game is to basically shoot everything on the screen that moves.
Right.
Kill
right.
everything because it's going to kill you if you don't. Pretty simple game mechanic. It's actually pretty, it's a fantastic game. It's a huge runaway success. But they had an achievement that was all about not shooting your weapon. Survive the first 60 seconds of the game without firing your weapon, which instead of shooting everybody means you try to outrun them.
Right,
and
right.
60 seconds doesn't sound like a lot of time, but it actually took an awful lot of skill to be able to get that achievement, and it became one of those really sought-after ones. People who are really good at shooting everything and getting high scores weren't as good not shooting anything and trying to outrun it.
Right.
So it made people play the game in a way that it wasn't intended to, but was also still fun and challenging.
Yeah, and you mentioned one of the social aspects as well as achievements. I can't remember the name of the title where you actually had to play somebody that automatically... It was the Six Degrees...
Six Degrees of Small Arms. So
yeah.
Small Arm was a game that launched in winter of 06. And what that achievement was, all you have to do to win the achievement is play against somebody who also had the achievement. So that's the viral part. It
right.
forces you to go online, and not just play an online game. You've got to go out there and find somebody who already has the achievement. And the really fun part about it was... The game was built by two developers from a studio called Gastronaut Studios. And those two developers were the only two people who had the achievement on the launch of the game.
Right.
So basically, on the first day, you had to play against the developers or someone who had just played against them in the past hour or two kind of thing.
Sure, sure.
So if you have that achievement today, it means, you know, through 6 degrees of separation,
you have played against
the developers.
Yeah. So some pretty brilliant stuff in ways for inversing gameplay on Geometry Wars and doing even sort of the 6 degrees.
Yep.
Scott, thank you for your time.
Thank
Great
you,
stuff on Xbox Live Arcade.
Enjoy the show.